By the time Hubbard died in 1989, he had attracted numerous disciples. Many grouped in a professional organization called the Association for the Study of Peak Oil and Gas, ASPO, who applied his basic methodology to other regions and nations. In Alaska, production peaked in 1988. In Canada and Mexico, during this decade. Output in the former Soviet Union, which first peaked in 1985 to 1987, was the subject of considerable disagreement 2 decades later. Both major North Sea producers are said to have maximized output. Norway in 2004 and Britain in 2000, even though local drilling began only in the 1970s. A short explanation of the peak concept is in order. Geologists define it as the point at which at least half of a field's reachable oil has been extracted. After this stage, getting each barrel out requires more pressure, more expense, or both. Output shrinks accordingly. After a while, despite nominal reserves that may be considerable, more energy is required to find and extract a barrel of oil than the barrel itself contains. By then, production becomes uneconomic, at least until the price of oil rises or the cost of extraction drops. Although the experts do not agree how close world oil production is to its peak, pessimists believe that it is close, and even relative optimists see it only 2 or 3 decades away. Matthew Simmons, a Texas consultant who has advised George W. Bush's White House, pinpointed the aging problem in a 2002 report, The World's Giant Oil Fields, for the Colorado School of Mines. The 120 largest oil fields produce close to 33 million barrels a day, almost 50% of the world's crude oil supply. The 14 largest account for over 20%. The average age of these 14 largest fields is 43.5 years. By 2004, Simmons and others were expressing concern that Saudi output might already have peaked. Unconfirmable, of course, until seen later in the all-knowing rearview mirror. 2004 was also the year that Royal Dutch Shell acknowledged overstating its oil and gas reserves by 20%, bringing a major plunge in its share price. British Petroleum had downgraded its production goals several times during 2002, said analysts, because it couldn't find enough oil in its existing fields. To all the major oil companies, finding new production resources was a never-ending challenge. John Thompson, the president of ExxonMobil Exploration, wrote in a 2003 company publication, "We estimate that world oil and gas production from existing fields is declining at an average rate of about 4 to 6% a year. To meet projected demand in 2015, the industry will have to add about 100 million oil equivalent barrels a day of new production. That's equal to about 80% of today's production level. In other words, by 2015, we will need to find, develop, and produce a volume of new oil and gas that is equal to 8 out of every 10 barrels being produced today. The year 2005, with its high oil prices, brought more candor about future supplies from the major oil companies and the press, if not from the Bush administration. Big oil warns of coming energy crunch, reported the headline in the Financial Times. In a new advertisement, ExxonMobil acknowledged that the world faces enormous energy challenges. There are no easy answers. Meanwhile, a company publication, The Outlook for Energy, a 2030 view, predicted that oil production outside OPEC would peak in just 5 years. Chevron Chief Executive Officer David J. O'Reilly told a Houston audience that in the new international energy equation, relative to demand, oil is no longer in plentiful supply. The time when we could count on cheap oil and even cheaper natural gas is clearly ending. Major financial institutions with oil exposure, like Deutsche Bank and the Bank of Montreal, began to take sides in the peak oil debate or endorse the case that Saudi oil production had probably peaked, with all that implied for the future.